Dr. Michael Roizen.
Dr. Michael Roizen.
You, the Owner's Manual Radio Show.
You're listening to You, the Owner's Manual Radio Podcast and Radio MD Podcast Health, iHeart, or wherever you download us from. Thank you for doing that. I have a great guest for you on this B segment. Our sponsors are, as usual, Life's First Naturals, the makers of Truebiotics, Bovine Colostrum, and Dye Rescue, as well as 4Youngevity.com. Go to those websites, 4Youngevity.com. Sign up for the free newsletter, which goes over how to stay younger longer, as well as the coaching program. It's an AI coaching program there. And go to LifesFirstNaturals.com to see the randomized double-blind controlled trials they've done with, for instance, the Truebiotic combination, and see why they can say there's a definite benefit from it. Today's guest is someone that I have realized I probably knew in the 1980 period, 77 to 85 period, when I was at UC San Francisco, and he was too. But he and I are both in Ohio now, and he is doing some really groundbreaking work on an innovative technique to help people live younger, longer after they've had a stent. But it isn't really a stent, so we'll get into that. Dean Kyriakos is a cardiologist who is chair of the Christ Hospital Cardiovascular Program in Cincinnati, just over the river from Kentucky. Dean, tell us about, you had an interesting life experience in realizing some serious medical problem that you've recovered from, thank God. Tell us a little bit about what happened and why that happens in the cath lab.
Thank you very much, Mike. It's really great to see you again after so many years and to be reunited. I was involved doing catheterizations starting in about 1984 and doing angioplasty, actually, in 1984, 83. Back then, the lead was at least 30 pounds. If you put the lead on, when I went to Cincinnati and joined Chuck Abbott-Smith, we, before you know it, there were two or three of us doing over 4,000 procedures a year, and I routinely clocked 1,400.
And if you think of that way, just think of that as individuals who are listening. 4,000 procedures a year, even if he worked 365 days, that's 10 big procedures, and these are big procedures, and you're wearing a big, heavy thing every day.
Yeah, 30 pounds. And I wore a karate belt, but I didn't have two-piece lead back then. But either way, there's a force placed on your neck, plus the ergonomics of this. Standing there with your head down most of the time and then looking up like this to the screen and wearing lead. 8 to 10 hours a day, Monday through Friday.
We wear lead because there's x-ray used there and you'll protect yourself from radiation.
Years ago, nobody had the foresight to screen the machine generating the x-rays. They screened all the humans in the room. So all of us, nurses, techs, and doctors, wore lead aprons. So doing it for almost 40 years, somewhere in the early 2000s, it went to 16 pounds, but if you give anybody, say, hold this, 16 pounds, they go, ooh, this is kind of heavy. Except when I say, think of holding two of those, putting them on your neck all day, every day. So in our profession, and you've seen this recently, in 23, there was a Society of Cardiac Angiography and Intervention survey, the third in a row from 2004, 2014, 2023, and they all say the same thing. Within 15 to 20 years of practice, 60% of interventional cardiologists will have either a lumbar or cervical spine injury. That means they've been laid up, they've had epidurals, they've had discectomies or fusions, et cetera. I had my first couple weeks after I turned 38. Now, I'm going to tell a story. All three of us that were clocking 4,000 procedures a year, Tom Broderick, Chuck Abbott-Smith has had four back surgeries. Broderick has cervical spine compression and is undergoing, going to have surgery for that. What happened to me in February 24 is I knew I had some cervical spine compression by the cord, but I was intact. I would go to hospital special surgery every year. I'd get an MRI, and I was physically, symmetrically strong without any real neurologic deficits except a left foot drop, which I've had since an emergency discectomy in 91. But all of a sudden, on a weekend after doing nine cases on a Friday, I hurt in the middle of my back. My arms got clumsy, floppy. And I took what I always do, prednisone, 30 milligrams. And I would put myself on prednisone and then taper it over 7 to 10 days or 2 weeks. Got a little better. Next day, I couldn't sign a check. The red light should have gone off, Mike, but I don't know if it was denial or I just didn't recognize it. The next day, I get up to go do three TAVRs, transcatheter aortic valve replacement, and I have a huge right foot drop. So I'm frustrated. I tell my wife, I got to get the neurosurgeons to see me today. After we do the TAVRs, I'm going to see these guys. And then I put my scrubs on, and while I was doing that, this pain in the middle of my back, my arms got floppy, and I couldn't stand. Over the next 12 hours, I got bombed with hydrocortisone. I got bombed with Decadron. I didn't get better.
So you were essentially paralyzed.
I started to posture at 3 a.m. where I call it the praying mantis look. You bring your arms up and your wrists are flexed down, and I couldn't open my fingers. So I'm telling my male nurse and my wife, hey, can you guys open my fingers? And they couldn't. So they call a neurosurgeon who immediately knew what was going on. And I was in the OR by 6, having a posterior decompression. They like doing these operations from the anterior approach. Mike, you may know that.
Whoa.
But he said, I don't have time to do that. I got to decompress you as quickly as possible. So I'm in the hospital for a month. I wake up with a right leg and hand paralyzed. You know, I mean, you lose bowel and bladder function. That's not cocktail conversation, but I would basically, it took me a month to get out of the hospital with a walker. And now it took me 6 months to get back in the lab with lead-free radiation protection. Now, some people would say, why did you ever want to go back in the lab? But for me, it's been my life. I've spent my life investigating.
Well, you also have done something remarkable lately with a special investigation that may help many, many others. So I can understand you devoted to this. Your purpose in life is helping people recover from cardiac problems and preventing them.
100%. And that's a Dynamics Bioadapter. I had a couple more, we call them IDE trials, you know, investigational device trials for FDA approval. And one of those on the horizon for me was the Dynamics Bioadapter from Elixir Medical.
So talk to us about this Elixir Medical.
Yeah.
This is an advance. So let's go back a little bit. When someone has a obstruction in one of the arteries of their heart, the current therapy is to put a stent in. How does a stent work?
Well, a stent is a metal scaffold. It's tucked onto a balloon catheter. You usually often open the blockage with a balloon first so that the stent passes easier and you know the blockage will open. Then you put this stent, which is thin metal struts, anywhere from 60 to 81 plus microns. They're gotten thinner and thinner over time. The little metal scaffold looks kind of like a screen, but now it has a polymer, which is a drug carrying substance, and it carries a medication that helps prevent recurrent blockage after you put it in. So you open it up, it scaffolds the artery with metal, and it releases a drug for somewhere like 90 days or so to prevent a recurrent blockage. So this is the state of the art.
And now there are some complications from those stents. What are the complications from those?
Well, think you just put this cage inside the artery. So normal arteries are dynamic. Like if you run up the stairs or jog, your arteries open up to carry more blood flow. It's called vasomotion. In addition, it's just a remarkable defense mechanism for atherosclerosis. Do you know that your arteries have the capacity to increase 40%? They enlarge to accommodate atherosclerosis or hardening of the arteries. So this is called positive adaptive remodeling. It's a remarkable nature's gift to us to help us not block off sooner than we would otherwise do. But these arteries can't do that when they're scaffolded with a metal girdle, so to speak. I mean, on the artery.
Now, so in the normal stent, it holds the artery open and it stops them from having vasomotion. So now the new stent that you're using, I don't even know what to call it because it's not really a dissolving stent that has some really great properties. So, and you can read more about it at Elixir Biomedical, I suppose. Tell us about what the trial is and what's happening with it.
Yeah. Well, this actually has very thin metal, they call them helical bands, that are held together by polymer. So over 6 months after it goes in, and unlike the dissolvable stent, I was the national international principal investigator for the Absorb. We thought this was going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread that is going to dissolve and leave nothing behind. But in fact, the outcomes were not as good as the best metal stent because the struts were so thick and a number of other reasons. But this catheter, the Elixir, it's called a Dynamics Bioadapter. Bioadapter because it adapts to nature, okay? And as this polymer resorbs over 6 months, these little helical strands unlock and allow the artery to resume what we call hemodynamic modulation. So vasomotion and adaptive remodeling come back. The proof of that, I mean, somebody could say, so what? You show this by intravascular imaging in a number of patients, but what does that do to the clinical outcomes? Well, lo and behold, in 2,850 patients right now, randomized compared to a market leader metal stent, after 6 months, the events of cardiac-related death, target vessel, that's the vessel you treated, myocardial infarction, heart attack, or ischemia-driven, clinically indicated target lesion revascularization, meaning you get another blockage there. None of those are happy things. The FDA has endorsed that endpoint, by the way, as a measure of safety and efficacy for these devices. So suddenly, that curve is flat, pretty much flat with the bioadapter, whereas the other metal stent, which is a great device, actually, it's been the number one device in our lab and many labs, continues with this inexorable 2 to 3% per year target lesion failure rate. That's the cardiac death, vessel myocardial infarction. And
right. So we should say what your lab's a real clinical treatment. We call the area where we put in the stents laboratories, but they really are treatment areas. So the difference is instead of having a increase rate of problems in that artery over time, this new bioabsorbable elixir, if you will, I guess it's elixir bioabsorbable bioadaptive process, allows your artery to function and to dilate again, to learn to be a real artery again, a functional artery. And by that process, you eliminate 2 to 3% of the complications. That is 2 to 3% of the patients per year, you reduce it by using this device so far.
And reduce it by 60 to 80%. And the curves diverge year over year. This is, as they say, is not your grandfather's Buick. This is not your grandpa or your dad's stent. This is
you're still involved in that trial, or is that completed?
No, OUS right now, outside the U.S., there's been a 445-patient bioadaptive randomized trial presented by Saito and from Japan et al. And then there's a more recent Sweetheart. It's called Sweetheart because it's done in Sweden. Infinity Sweetheart trial where 1,200 in each group, randomized one-to-one. This randomization was to the same market-leading metal DES compared to the bioadapter. So that's almost 2,900 randomized patients, and the data are all the same.
Well, Dean, we are really lucky to have you as a practicing clinician again, and I'm glad to know you're in Ohio and welcome you up to Cleveland. I want to thank you. You've been just a magnificent guest explaining how we have moved from angioplasty, widening the artery with a balloon, to supporting it being open and reducing the risk that way with a stent, to a drug-eluting stent, and now to a bioadaptive stent by, I guess it's called ELIXIR is the company that's the sponsor of the United States.
ELIXIR Medical, the device is called a Dynamics Bioadapter.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike.
We again, just to tell you, we're sponsored by ForYoungevity.com and LifeFirstNaturals.com, but especially thank you, the 50,000 of you who download us every week. You're the reason we do this. We'll be back next week. Go to the A segments, the latest medical news of the week and what it means to you. And of course, the B's, you'll see other wonderful guests. Thank you very much. We'll be back next week.